Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire from the AT&T 5G Virtual Studios. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss. Drum roll, please! Joining the show from CBS and Paramount Plus, you know him, you
at
love him.
5'4" from the University of College of Boston, located in Dartmouth, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
The man, the leg, the stank. Sorry, Wiebe, I had to one up on that.
It, because then you gave it the little bit of, like, the little resonance, so it kind of felt like you were talking through a tin can. It was that old school way, you know, because Charlie played in the old days. Charlie Davies! Welcome back, Charlie.
My guys.
You're slumming.
Thank you. This is fam right here.
That's true.
I love getting back on the show and talking about what we talk about best. So
hey man, what we love,
we're like the pickup gym. Charlie went to the league, but every once in a while comes back around, reminds him he comes back to play summer ball.
It's like the pro-am. He's like, people getting their haircuts on the sideline. Exactly, this is good stuff. This is family. Charlie, how was Denver? We got a great show coming up. Obviously, we're talking All-Star Game presented by Target. Liga MX, MLS. We got Paul Areola coming up. We have U.S. Costa Rica to rip apart and analyze and look ahead to the Gold Cup. Apparently David Goss has a full roster to share with us. National Soccer Hall of Fame, you know, I feel passionately about that. The class is out for this year, and there is literally one game of MLS this weekend. So we'll talk about all that. But Charlie, let's start with it, man. CBS. It was a beautiful thing. It was awesome for us. We were like doing our shows, but then watching yours at the same time, and you guys crushed it. Absolutely crushed it.
No, thank you. It was epic. You know, when you get a chance to see the U.S. men's national team play with this new generation of stars, and this is the first real test to play for a trophy, and to be on the desk analyzing the team, Greg Berhalter's formation tactics, to do it with, you know, my guys from you know, that we were in the trenches together, you know, Clinton Gooch and Kate Abdo is just as good as they come, you know, and everybody behind the scenes is top. So it was awesome. I mean, it was a dream, to be honest. And then for the guys to come up with that performance against our rivals, Mexico, and win, are you kidding me? it was just storybook.
My endorphins were flowing. I've actually felt like this entire week I've just sort of been like regaining the ability to feel again, because it all just got emptied out in that one moment, or many moments, really, I should say. What was it like being in stadium? What was it like watching with Gooch and Deuce? What were you feeling as this all sort of happened? And what were you feeling at the end? And also, how could anybody doubt that you were going to stanky leg on national TV? When you give Charlie center stage, he's not going to shrink. That's not the man that he is.
See, I knew I could trust in my boys. You knew I was never gonna let you down. You knew if I'm getting on
question.
The if I'm on the pitch, it's not it's that there is no question. I'm pulling it out. I think from my perspective, the atmosphere was, you know, just like we've always have come to know a US Mexico game. You know, that there was the wave going on, it was jam packed. There were chants. There was, like, you know, this energy that was just palpable. You know, all of us were so pumped up. I hadn't been that jacked up in a long time, you know, especially watching the U.S. play, to be honest. And, you know, Clint talked about it too. He doesn't remember the last time he cheered for the U.S., like really passionate, like to cheer them on. This, like, he felt like this was the moment he turned into a fan. For the first time, like, that's how strong of a performance the U.S. gave. That's how strong of a feeling that they played with pride to represent the country, and it was contagious. So I know from my standpoint, I've always believed in these kids. I say kids, but you know, this younger generation to come in with no international experience, very limited. I mean, there's not too many that have, you know, a sense of what CONCACAF is really all about. And they come out and they do that in that type of fashion. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the pride you want. That's when you grab the jersey and you yank it. And that's what gets people to the to sit on the couch and make sure everyone's tuned in and locked and loaded for U.S. men's national team game. That's the hype that we've been missing and hoping for forever. And now we get it. We finally have it. Christian Pulisic, did he have the best game? No, not at all. Did you know, there were times where you might have thought, man, he's just out of gas, you know, with such a difficult long season, you know, and then winning the Champions League trophy, that takes a lot out of you. There's no doubt a dip that you're going to have in energy. You come into a final, things aren't going well, you figure out different ways to make an impact, and then extra time, penalty, everything's on the line, everything, and you go top bins. Yeah, I'm all about it. Get on that hype train. Like, if you weren't a believer of the U.S. men's national team, you are now. You are now, no doubt. That performance, going down a goal in the first minute, Mark McKenzie, head could have sunk right down, and he still was battling the emotional effect of giving up a goal in the first minute. Like, there's no doubt he's battling, you know, himself mentally throughout that match, because there were times where it's like, oh, do I want to get on the ball? Do I just want to hide? I got to keep going. And then you'd see he'd make a play and then you'd say, okay, he's back in it. And then he'd, you know, have another play where he wasn't sure on the ball or didn't make the right decision, but he battled again. You get the handball call. You know, there are all these things that are going against you and the team, and they just kept coming back. And Horvath, the miracle substitution, miracle. And just so down to earth. He's such a good kid. You know, I'm
look at Papa. He's not even Chuck D anymore. He's Papa Chuck D.
I feel like it's Papa Chuck. Yeah,
and you're like Tata Martino at the VAR monitor. You're just bringing everybody in, baby. You're just, you know, you're supporting. You got your arm up around them. You just want to whisper sweet nothings in all of their ear, Papa Chuck.
I forgot to mention this too, Weeby. After the game, they're asking me about VAR, and I just felt like I put on my little hat, and I was like
pulling the instant replay.
Instant replay. Here we go. I literally felt like, me and Weeby, instant replay, yeah. Here we go. And I was able to be like, hey, VAR, is it clear and obvious? That's what it's for. And if it's not, then we shouldn't be using it. And if the ref is at the monitor for 2, 3, 4 minutes, that tells you right there it's not clear and obvious. Put that monitor down and let's get on with the show. So, you know, I got to see every single player after the game. So they're all coming out with the trophy because they have to actually get on a private jet to fly to Salt Lake.
Well, also, they got to get the trophy from you. So you set that up pretty well. You know, like, hey, you want this? I got this. By the way, it looked like it was kind of, what was it made out of? A little bit foamy.
That thing was solid, heavy.
It's like lead.
I was like, whoa, this thing is legit. Like, yeah, it felt like, you know, something out of an Avengers movie, to be honest. But it was... It was just incredible, to be honest. I'm so thrilled to see that this group of players come together and have that valuable experience that they can rely on now from here on out.
All right. That is I'm never going to get tired of reliving that game, I don't think. It'd be 15 years from now, sitting around a fire, drinking beers, being like, you guys want to just like go back through the checklist on US-Mexico from the glorious, unprecedented CONCACAF Nations League championship that we won, the first ever. You can never take it away from us. Let's jump into this and let's talk about something that's a first too. MLS All-Star Game presented by Target, best versus best, Liga MX against Major League Soccer in Los Angeles, Bank of California Stadium. It's going down on August 25th. There is also an All-Star Week. There always is. It seems like we'll actually get to have that week this year where you have Skills Challenge and you have your parties and you're getting together, you're connecting. It's even more beautiful this time, in my opinion, because it's a block party. It's our block. We don't need European super clubs to make this cool. We don't need, Euro snobs and your cultural, prioritization on our block. Like, this is us. This is North America. This is Mexico. This is Canada. This is the U.S. This is the Yucatan to the Northwest Territories. This is what we do, and this is what we are going to do, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Fox, TUDN, TSN, TVA, that's where you can watch this thing. We know the coach for MLS, that's Bob Bradley. We don't know the roster. That will come at a later date. Of course, the fan vote. Bob will have some choices, and Commissioner Don Garber always has a couple commissioner's picks as well. This is, in my opinion, what it is probably always should have been, and I understand why it wasn't. There are all these other considerations, but I'm glad that we've finally settled on it now. Dave, how do you feel about this? I know you and I and we've done the video where we just sort of like emptied our brains and went crazy because we went through all the dream picks that we could make. You know, what if Landon had played in this game? What if Rafa but Marquez had played in this game? What if, you know, what if? Well, we don't have to what if anymore. We have it. How do you feel?
I agree with you. This is the perfect way that an all-star game should be, because it's going to be fun. There's going to be a little bit of chippiness still to it, though. And for this region, it's going to be a huge moment. And I think for fans in Mexico or Liga MX fans, it's going to be a huge moment because they've never seen an all-star group. Like, they've never seen, you brought up on the last show we did, Funes Mori. I brought up APG. No one's seen those two guys play together. Right. And these guys are rivals at the highest level in championships constantly. Now you're going to see them on the same field. And I think talking about those people in the other parts of the world, this is going to be a global event. When have you ever seen an all-star group from one soccer league versus another? We've now seen with MLS, MLS All-Stars versus a European club. You've seen best 11s and legends 11s. But in your prime players, this has never happened before. So you've got the global event, which I think is going to go out, and it's got Charlie juice, but then you've got what's happening here, and it's going to matter. Like, it matters to these leagues to compete against each other. It's part of the growth of the game in this region, and there's no other way to word it. They slag Carlos Vela, they slag Chicharito. Like, Vela's going to have a hattie in this one, because the guy's going to come out to play, and I'm so excited to watch.
Well, that. And to see Chicharito and Vela play together. I mean, to me, what all-star games are about is imagination. It is the what if. What if you put all these guys on the same field? What would happen?
You've never seen Carlos Vela and Chicharito play together?
No, I'm saying before.
It's only happened about 75 times.
I'm saying it hasn't happened recently because Carlos hasn't been with the national team. Of course, they started their careers the same place. We talked to Chicharito about that on this show. But like, to have
I'll
it
give
happen
you a clue.
Again,
I was in the stadium in Moscow last time it happened. It went pretty well for them.
With an MLS crest on their chest?
No, I mean, never.
Carry
that crest, baby.
It's a beautiful thing. I also think it's just a beautiful thing because all of us are intertwined. There is rivalry here. We saw it, obviously, on the international side. We'll see it even more because Canada's moved on now to almost the third round of CONCACAF qualifying. They might be in that final eight, and you could get that more as well on the international side. There's rivalry in CCL. There's rivalry on bragging rights. But there's also collaboration, and I think also an understanding that, like, we're all in this together. Whether it be 2026 in the World Cup, whether it be where North American soccer is going, the League's Cup, Campeones Cup, whatever, this is not just competition. There's also an element of collaboration. And what can we be, that imagination side? What if all these leagues, what if all of us were working together to raise the game in North America while also competing against each other and having those bragging rights and having that trash talk? Like, that's the what if, and that's what we're embarking on. And all these sort of sinews between the leagues are only getting stronger. We'll talk to Paul Ayala in just a little bit about where that could go. He has experience, of course, on both sides, internationally, on the club side. What could this partnership be? But this is the start of it, Charlie. And I wonder, from a player perspective, with this different format, you know, it's not completely different. It's still an all-star game. But now you're taking on a league that you're trying to usurp, basically, in the region. What do you think players on both sides are thinking about this format and what it means?
Well, I think it's about pride, for sure. You want to say you play in the better league, that your league has the better players. Like, that's what would be going through my mind, is like, I'm about to show out. And then you throw in, if you're an American player, it's another Mexico versus US. Like, there are a lot of areas within this all-star game that you can say, man, this rivalry is only going to get more intense between the US and Mexico, because, you know, from CONCACAF standpoint, they're like, this is going to shine a light on our region of just how much quality we have. Right? Not just in MLS and how far that league's come since David Beckham, to be honest, because that's what put MLS on the map within the global game. But Liga MX versus MLS, here we go. The best players within those leagues, and this is what they have. This is the product. That hypes me up. And I think, you know, for the rest of the world, they get a glimpse to say, whoa, look at all these awesome players. Like, I want to be a part of that. Or we need to go out and spend some money to get some of these players into our team or into our league. So it's a fantastic opportunity for Major League Soccer, again, to show how far they've come, to show that they have the better players, the more entertaining league. I think for Bob Bradley, again, to coach against a Mexican side, there's just a lot of parallels in this match and cool little stories with Carlos Vela and Chicharito, like you touched on. I'm really hyped about this game.
I want to be there. And I'm working the phones and working the emails right now to find a way to get there. And I'm going to come full Rob Lowe with the MLS jersey on, with the MLS hat on, just repping it. I want to be there because, to me, the All-Star Game is one of the most special times of year because it's when everybody's in the same place. You know, preseason, there's a little bit of that, but you don't have the fan aspect all the time in preseason. But the MLS Cup, yeah, a little bit, but it's really two clubs. It's about those two clubs. All-Star is about our league. And in this case now, it's about both of these leagues. And I think, in the last year and a half, what I've missed the most is the connections with people, is the opportunity to meet people, to reconnect with people, to be around people where we all understand one central thing, which is that we love this game, we love our region, and we want it to grow. And that gives me energy, that gives me hope for the future. And if you're listening to this, my bosses and or the people that hold the purse strings on the budget side, you should send me to Los Angeles, and Dave, and Charlie, and Doyle.
You just wasted everyone's time to make a pitch that you should go to this game.
Yeah,
everyone listening to this podcast.
You mean like an all-star? You mean like an all-star party? You want an all-star party?
No comment. No comment. Red carpet. I'll take the invitation to the red carpet all-star party as well. It's going to be an awesome time.
LA.
It's LA. Yeah.
It's the center of it all.
Can I just say the last time I was in LA for
Hollywood?
Was it for an all-star game? One of the last times I definitely lost my credit card and had to go back and get it at the bar the next day. So
shellbacks, baby.
Yeah, hopefully no repeat of that one. But before we let people have their say, we did a YouTube video on this. And of course, every extra time goes to YouTube. So check that out. It was Doyle, me, and Dave. We went through all the players from both leagues now we want to see in the game, as well as the legends that would have been absolutely epic in this thing, from Jorge Campos to LD to Osvaldo Sanchez, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go check that out on YouTube. Before we move on and get to Paul Arriola, the interview here, he has some thoughts on this as well as the U.S. and U.S. Costa Rica. Who should coach the Liga MX side of this? We got Bob Bradley. That all makes sense. It's a beautiful thing. You said it parallels, Charlie. There's some great options in Mexico. I personally come down on the side of entertainment value. You're not walking in and setting up a system. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, here's how we want to play, blah, blah. You're putting guys in the best positions you can, and you're entertaining. Who is going to give us the best entertainment value in this game? Give me a name. Give me a feeling. Who should it be?
I'm always going to go with Tuca Ferretti.
Ooh. Breaking out the rolled R's, huh? FC Juarez.
I've been around Nico Cantor for the week, so he helped me with my pronunciations. But I think just from his pedigree, the success that he's had, I think, you know, seeing him opposite Bob Bradley would be entertaining.
And in the press conference too, can I throw out a Super Saiyan Piojo Hira? Like, that's what I want. I want emotion. I want energy. I want a feeling. He's talked about MLS in this way before, of that rivalry. I want somebody who comes in and really says, you know what? Yeah, it's a little bit of an exhibition. It's an all-star game, but I actually think this is a little bit more serious than that. And I want more than anything else to win. I want to win, and I'm going to show you my emotion in the moment, in the press conference, in the entirety of the week, how much I care, how much I think about this and these two leagues and the rivalry. That's, I think Herrera would be.
I think you're on the old Piojo. I think he learned his lesson, and if he loses, then he's in trouble. So now he knows he can't do that. You guys both said the correct answers. I'm with Charlie on Tuca Ferretti. He's just oozes class, and every camera's on him at all times. Herrera as well. If neither of them do it, I don't know why. The other one would be Javier Aguirre. He's a guy who has dominated the region. He's as big a name as there is, obviously coaching in La Liga and now back with Monterrey. Those would be the three, I think, that are clear favorites, and all of them, I think, against Bob Bradley. It's about the football, you know? It's about the football.
Football.
So I have one thing for the both of you. since we're on the All-Star. If you could pick one player, one attacking player, one midfielder, one defender, and one goalkeeper for the All-Star team for MLS, who are those four players?
And we're throwing right out, now? We're throwing out Chicharito right now. And Bella. We're throwing those out because those are so yes. obvious and like blindingly wait, wait. So.
Why are we throwing out players that we would pick?
No, no, no. Obviously, you would pick them because then you would just
no, no, be an no, 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 no. You have to pick one player that is deserving of the MLS All-Star.
Oh, deserving.
This
not
year.
Just straight yes. up.
No, not just entertainment or like cool story. No, that deserve to be.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Should I go or no?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll in go the mid, last. How about in the midfield? I'll just throw it out there. Carly Seal has to be your first. That's the first place that you should go to in the midfield.
That's where okay, so he's going.
Yeah. Stop. So I took the midfield. So he
oh, we only as
no,
a
you
got
to go four players. No, you.
Yeah, yeah, you pick four yeah. players. So we,
oh,
yeah.
okay.
You well, want me to Carlos. Go first? Or you yeah. want to go first?
I guess I'm going. I'm going to take Alan Pulido.
Okay.
Again, because I think that can mash up your like deserving as well as storylines and just cool. like that that's little bit of extra. So on the back line, let's see. I think I would go Walker Zimmerman. I think that he has a big personality, and I think he would just embrace a moment like this. So I think Walker Zimmerman.
So you're
is
saying
my guy
he's
there.
Been the best? He's been the best defender.
I'm not saying he's been the best.
He's definitely
defender.
An all-star.
Yeah, but he's an okay. all-star. Like there's yep. you can't really debate that he would deserve something like that. And then I would keep it in the region. And I would go Andre Blake at goalkeeper.
Okay. I think so I can't pick any of those people.
You can if that's who you believe should. Okay. Should, yeah.
So I would also take Andre Blake, but also stay in the region and go there. I would go Antonio Carlos
ooh.
At center back mm-hmm. because I don't respect fullbacks, obviously. Mm-hmm. I would go Eric
you could,
Williamson.
You could throw out Richie Larea at fullback.
I could, but I didn't. I you said didn't. Antonio
that's
Carlos,
true.
But I like
did.
That.
So at least
I like
mentioned
that.
It.
Eric Williamson in midfield.
Ooh, I like it. Oh.
Easy.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Nice with the jersey.
And then up top, Raul Ruiz Diaz. Another guy who came from Liga MX. Another guy who scores goals. I would love to watch him go against his former league and kind of show that he still is as good, if not better, than he was when he left.
And I want the guys, Charlie, we didn't talk about this with
oh,
you.
Oh, I want
you
Bella,
the previous show.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Bella, I don't know where
yeah,
he goes.
Yeah, keep going. Actually, keep going, Gus.
I was just saying, Charlie, like I loved all the scuffles in that US-Mexico game because it just, you could tell that everybody was so into it and intense and just like, we're not backing down. So I think mm-hmm. he deserves it, but he could really be like one of those guys in this game. Christian Roldan. He does yeah. not back down to a confrontation. And he does deserve it. So those will be the ones. Let us know what you think. Who should be in this All-Star game on both sides? MLS, Liga MX. Go check out that video on YouTube.
Let me give you mine.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were playing.
Charlie built this up so he could give
yeah.
it.
Yeah, like
that
can
was
I,
the whole point.
Jeez. Fine.
Okay. All right. Go.
All right. Well, Gus, he's my guy. He knows exactly. As a striker, Raul Ruiz Diaz should be the first pick at forward because he's just been – he's been sensational this year. He's that good. His movement, finishing ability, midfielder, Carlos Heel.
Yeah, gotta be.
Yeah, just
easy money.
Chance, just easy money.
You're wearing a Revolution sleeve, like half sleeve hoodie here, Charlie.
Yeah,
you're,
but
you're in
know.
New England. We,
but
know.
We know.
We do know.
Okay,
we do know. Yeah.
Now, defender. Shout out to my guy Anders, producing Anders. Okay.
Yeah.
Yaimar Gomez or
oh.
Nuhu. Or
oh. I was like, give me the Nuhu.
Yes, I was like, where are you going? What?
Either one. But I feel like Nuhu has probably been the best defender for Seattle.
You know what?
Course, the whole
I don't want to get like the Liga MX scouts going here, but like I feel like Nuhu could be pretty good in Liga MX.
I feel like
good in MLS.
I know, but I'm just saying like the elimination, like the midfield not always being the most.
Sounders fans out there, I need to know if you agree with me. Of players who have developed as a Sounder, Nuhu came in super raw, super athletic. I feel like over the past year, maybe year and a half, he has really developed in not only his tactical position, but his distribution, his technique. Those have drastically improved, especially like him being able to switch the point of attack, switching the ball. I'm like, whoa, that's not the Nuhu that I knew like 2 years ago, who was just running up and down and fighting people and starting fight, you know, instigating. He honestly looks like a real quality defender. And I think he's only getting better. We have not seen the best of him yet. So
give me your goalkeeper, Charlie.
Galese.
Mm.
I think Galese has been,
yes.
You know, I think Andre Blake is always going to be top two, top three in this league. But I think Galese has been phenomenal this year. I think he would get my nod.
I'm going to throw in, can I throw Caden Clark in as an endpoint on this? Let us know what you think. 401-206-0MLS. Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. We want to know who you want to see in the MLS All-Star Game presented by Target. August 25th in LA, Bank of California Stadium, Fox, TuneIn, TSN, TVI. You'll find it anywhere you have. Yeah, if you got a TV, it's going to be coming to you. We're going to go to Paul Areola right now. A big interview here. We'll be right back to talk USA Costa Rica. It's an AT&T 5G call to the field. To the nation's capital we go, to Paul Areola. Paul, what's up, man? How's it going?
Everything's great over here. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. I asked you before we jumped on here whether we'd ever had you, because sometimes I forget. We have so many people on this show. Somehow, some way, we haven't had the Paul Areola experience. So hopefully we do you justice here. Let's just start with the big news. MLS All-Star presented by Target, Liga MX, MLS. We had it last year, then we didn't have it. Now we have it again. In my mind, this is the perfect format. There could not be a better format than this. Give me the player's perspective. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good, obviously. I think anytime you can, compare yourself to your rival country in a sport, in a sporting event, that's extremely important. Obviously, there's business behind it, and that's great as well. But overall, I think especially now, and obviously you see U.S. Mexico and how the rivalry still exists, obviously, and the way that the U.S. was able to kind of up one this time. It's great. It's great for everybody. I think it's great for the fans. I think it's another opportunity to showcase players' abilities, and it's entertaining. So why not?
You have a unique perspective. You've been in locker rooms on both sides. We know what MLS players think about this. What do you think Liga MX players are thinking as this opportunity pops up? Are guys in the locker room saying, like, I got to be involved in this game? Are they hyped for it? Do they see the competition between the leagues? What do you think they're thinking?
Yeah, I think to be honest with you, I think it's another opportunity for those players as well to take a look at the MLS. I think players would be lying if they said that they weren't intrigued by the thought of playing in the MLS. I think for everybody, the question is the level, which I think can clearly be left behind and be a thought that shouldn't exist anymore. But that's definitely, I think, how players are feeling. They want to know what it's like. And obviously, I'm sure most of the players have played with players that know about the MLS or a lot of them are foreign. So, I think it's an opportunity for them as well to be able to come and kind of showcase themselves and really experience it and see if it's worth it for them.
So that's a note for all you MLS GMs out there. If you're listening, just hang out in the hotel lobby, buy some coffees, have some chats, go up and down the elevator a couple times, see who walks in, maybe make your pitch. Paulie, the injury kind of screwed you in some ways, but you got three starts in. This game was made for you. You're a SoCal guy. You've played in both leagues. You could rep this well. Is it time to start lobbying? Like, the fans got to vote. Bob Bradley's got some choices to make. Don Garber's right there. You need to be in this game.
Listen, man, all I'm trying to do is just focus on game by game, training by training. DC United, obviously, we're a changed team now. So, day by day mentality, I think, is the way to go. And look, if I'm there, I'm there. And if not, well, I got to keep working. You know what I mean?
So that was a low key way of saying, yeah, if you want to vote for me, you can, fans out there. I'm just throwing it. I'm just messing with you, man. Who would you want to see on the Liga MX side? I think we all understand as we look around the league and we're obsessed with Major League Soccer, we watch all these games, who we would want to see on that side. Who do you think should be in it on the Liga MX side? Who would be the guys that just capture our imaginations?
I don't know. I think there's so many great players. They're superstars. I have a favorite, and it's a player I used to play with in Tijuana, Henry Martin. He actually just played a little bit for Mexico this game. I think he's unbelievable, and he plays for a strong team. But he's definitely one of my favorite players of all time, even to play with, the way that he's able to allow players to be themselves. And he's a type of nine that kind of does everything. But of course, you're going to have your superstars and Gignac obviously the way that the Tigres team is assembled, you can really pick and choose who you want from that team. I think there's a lot of quality in the Liga MX, but I also think that a lot of those guys, would love to have the opportunity to come to the U.S. and play and get a chance to play on the MLS team, because I think, you know, the MLS is definitely trending in the right direction, you know, in all aspects.
Where do you think these two leagues go? I mean, you said it, we all know it. We're not blind here. Their futures are intertwined, whether it be this All-Star game and those in the future, or Leagues Cup or Campeones Cup or CONCACAF Champions League and what that's becoming. Where do you think this could go? Where would you want to see it go?
You know, I actually like the different cups. You know, I think that's a great way for the two countries and the two leagues to kind of come together. I don't know how strongly I feel about, you know, becoming one league and different things like that. I think that definitely takes away, you know, the tradition and kind of respecting each other's countries and leagues. But I definitely enjoy it. I think fans will love it. Constantly being able to see, you know, their teams play. And again, it's another way for us to measure the MLS to Liga MX, right? The only way that we're really only able to measure it is through Champions League. And you know, I think we all know how that goes. So for us, you know, as players as well, I think it's great. It's again, another opportunity to showcase and kind of show, you know, where you're at and to show others as well. And for us in MLS, I think it's kind of about gaining respect still, especially in other people's eyes who might be a little more naive or maybe don't know too much about the league because, you know, it's just not broadcasting enough. So, you know, that's kind of my two cents on the two leagues.
I love Leagues Cup, big Leagues Cup stan here. So let's go to US Mexico though. You mentioned it. You've been hurt. You're coming back. We hope to see you in the Gold Cup. I'll hit that in a second, but I just want to know how you watched this game. Where were you? What emotions were swirling through you? Are you one of those guys that's sitting back cool as you like on the couch? It's like, oh yeah, all good. Are you jumping up and down, you know, throwing food, like having a great time?
No, I'm definitely as cool as a cucumber, man. I just hang out, like, when, you know, especially if one of my teams is playing, like, I'm not a guy that's going to go out to a restaurant and watch it. And, you know, I need to be able to sit down. I need to be able to hear commentary. I need to be able to just relax, you know, hang out. So I was just at home watching on the couch, but man, that was a game filled with emotion.
What did you, what was the moment that really got you where you were sort of like, oh man, this is incredible. I can't believe what's happening here. There's a laundry list of them, of ridiculousness, of quality, of just like moments where you're like, I'm going to tear my hair out. I can't believe this is happening right now.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, obviously the two penalty kicks, that's unreal. You know, it's unreal. It's unreal to have that. And then obviously Ethan making a wonderful save. I mean, that's when you really feel it, you know. It's like, oh my God, like what a game. I mean, especially being, you know, a part of the U.S., it just means so much. And of course against our rival is huge. So for us, and for me, you know, I was so proud of those guys. Just because I know, you know, I remember 2019 playing against Mexico. I remember, I believe 2017 playing against Mexico in the Azteca, and how hard it was for us to get a point there. And then in 2019, losing to them in the final, in the Gold Cup, and you know, how much that hurt. So I know how excited they were. you know, I couldn't be happier for them. And obviously as a group, it's a confidence builder. It really is. So, you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully getting another chance to represent the country, and to be a part of that group.
Have you talked to Greg at all recently as you've kind of hit these points along your comeback from injury?
Yeah, I spoke to him. I spoke to him a couple times before, Nations League. And to be honest with you, you know, it was brief, short. You know, I've said it multiple times, Greg's an amazing guy and an amazing coach, in the way that he's able to, you know, take care of you and show you, you know, the important, you know, how important you are to everybody. You know, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing trait to have. So yeah, we talked a couple times, and obviously since then, not yet, but, hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up.
How are you feeling just after everything that you went through with the Swansea experience, now coming back, like physically, where do you feel like you're at? And when you look ahead to the summer, in your mind, are you thinking, I'm available for the Gold Cup? I would like to be at the Gold Cup. What's your perception on that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's an international tournament. It's a tournament that I, you know, I feel specifically that we need to win, that I want to win, from the last Gold Cup. And you know, if I get that opportunity, I would love to be there. I'll be there in a heartbeat, but physically I feel good. You know, I feel good. It was an interesting first half of 2021 for me. And coming back from an injury and, you know, kind of what's going on, there was a lot of, you know, what this and that. But you know, it just feels good to be healthy, to play, obviously to be with the guys, and to play in a new style, play in a new system in DC. That's an amazing thing. You know, I think the energy around DC and DC United right now is great. You know, there's really no expectation from the team, you know, from the outside. Okay, it's not Hernan's players. It's a new coach. It's a new system. You know, we have nothing to lose, really. We're playing and we're having fun and we're enjoying the way that we're doing it. Yeah, we're working hard every single day to be able to do that and to play a different way than DC United is used to playing. So it's been exciting. And you know, for the past couple months, I've had a real good time and a real good connection, you know, a part of DC.
I've made a lot of carb jokes on Twitter. I've watched from afar and been like, whoa, the amount of fitness, the attention to detail as far as, you know, body composition goes and everything that it requires to play in Hernan's way is pretty incredible. And it seemed like there were some bumps along the road, and that's to be expected. A new coach comes in, he's trying to do something new and different. How new and different is this, though? Can you compare and contrast a little bit what Hernan is expecting versus what it was like before? And that's no slag on Ben. That's just a different perception, a different head coach with different expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to compare, really. I mean, easy to compare, but I mean, you know, everyone has their own style. You know, you can bring in another coach and it's going to be completely different probably as well. And I think that was the point, again, to change it up, and to really try and have a different styled team. And for us, we've enjoyed it and I always say it, in a system, you have to buy in. And I really feel that Hernan has done a good job to really, you know, have us buy in. I mean, not just buy in with on the field stuff, but off the field stuff. You know, they do ask a lot of us, and we're all professionals and, you know, to be the best, you have to be up for the task. So, you know, I give a lot of credit to everybody so far, players and staff and technical staff. To be able to kind of get us to where we are now. And you know, I'm excited about where we're going this year. Not talking about next year or the following year. I think I'm really excited about, you know, this year and you know, being a very strong team and being able to have people say, oh man, well, who would have thought DC United was like this? We were expecting them, you know, to maybe be like this in a couple years. You know, I personally don't think that's the case. I think we have the capability to be one of the best teams in the league, offensively and defensively. It's obviously just a matter of execution and staying healthy as a collective.
The execution side. I always ask this and I always try to get details, and sometimes it's hard for people to explain it or they dance around it. What does Hernan expect from you guys on the field? Without giving away the big secrets here, but like, how would you tell a layman who has never seen DC United play what Hernan is asking of you?
Run. Run. And run, you know, run forward. Run forward. Run for each other. You know, I really think, to keep it as simple, that's what it is. If you're a pressing team, you want to be able to get forward, and you want to be able to always press. The more times you can press forward and not backward, the better off you're going to be. And that's kind of how we are. And offensively, you know, we're really starting to get some ideas. I think in the beginning, what kind of showed is that we didn't really have too many ideas, right? It was a lot of creativity. And, you know, if, you know, you're someone that analyzes DC United and you look at the roster, you think, okay, well, there's not really a superstar. There's not really a one guy that's going to change the game, you know, week in and week out. And we all know that, you know, and we all accept that. That's not a problem. No one is out there trying to do everything for the team. And so now we're starting to get some ideas and have a real good understanding of where to move and why to move and where the ball is going to be played. And that's kind of what's helped us. You know, obviously I'm only speaking about last game, but, you know, this has been something that we've been working on in training. And I hope that it continues to pay off.
So results are the easiest way to get the buy-in. We all know that. That's how you get people to get on board, and you're starting to get those, but you mentioned some of those off the field things. Walk me through in your mind, one, how a coach best can get buy-in outside of results and what Hernan has done to do that, and how he's sort of changed the way that you guys approach that off the field.
Yeah, I think, you know, off the field there's a few things. You know, it's you know, making sure that you're ready to go, you know, when you step on the field. You know, put it that way, as far as like making sure that you're taking care of yourself. When you get to, you know, when you get to the facility, it's not just, you know, you're not going to just sit in your locker and hang out for an hour and not do anything. And then all of a sudden show up and train, right? Like we do a lot of good things before we do, you know, a pre-activation. We have meetings every day. You know, we have breakfast together, we have lunch together. You know, these are all little things that in the end can make a huge difference for a team. You know, some people like it, some people don't like it, right? Some people want their freedom, and some people want to, you know, be able to leave after training right away. Or some people want to, you know, want to sleep in and just show up for training. But, you know, it is the way it is, and we have no problem with that. And that's kind of, you know, how if you want to be successful, we have to do those things. We know that, you know, being a player for DC United, I know, you know, that right now we need to get everything right to be successful. And yeah, just communication, you know, I mean, I think at first, like you said, everyone was thinking, you know, man, what are we doing? Right. It's a shakeup in the world. You know, it's, at times, I'm sure for people, it felt traumatic, right? Something just completely changes, and it's like, how are you going to adapt? And at times, you feel like, well, you either adapt or you're in trouble, or you say you can't do it or you don't like it, you know. But we're well past that stage, and you know, we're here, and you know, we've been working extremely hard, like I said, on and off the field, right? We talked about, you know, the diet and the eating and, you know, of course, I think there's things that the club can also, help us with. And, you know, that's, you know, I think all of us collectively are working on that, but from a player's perspective, you know, our coach and our staff are asking us to go out and do all the little things off the field, right. To be able to push ourselves to the maximum on the field. And so that's kind of what we've been doing as of late.
Did you have to change your diet much? Or were you like Mr. Eat Clean, Paul Arola, I got the salmon and the brown rice special every night anyway?
No, I definitely did. I definitely did. I'm definitely more conscious about what I eat. Yeah, I mean, really, when you think about it and you look at it in a simple way, it's just accountability, right? It's just holding people accountable.
Starting with yourself. I mean, I can identify with that. I've been failing at that in this pandemic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we joke about body scans and we joke about, you know, lowering the carbs and, you know, when to eat carbs and when not to eat carbs. And that's, you know, part of the education process, but ultimately it's accountability. It's just, you know, holding us to a standard, and kind of at the same time, pushing us to try and be better and be better for ourselves, not to be better for anyone else, be better for ourselves so that we feel better. So, I definitely enjoy that. You know, I enjoy that. I enjoy the process of it. I enjoy the freaking out, wondering if you're going to weigh in at a decent weight. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, like I said, they're just trying to get you better.
That's the proof in the pudding. It's like a wrestler, man. You're going to weigh in. You got to see if you're going to be eligible. Before we let you go here, and I appreciate all your time and looking forward to seeing what's to come for you and DC, both this year, but also this summer with the US. Take us back a second. You said the first part of the year was weird for you, and it certainly was. I think it's two appearances with Swansea overall. There were big expectations for a pair of you and Jordan and yourself at Swansea, and it just didn't quite work out. Why did you decide to go? What experience were you expecting? And did your experience match up? Like what happened, I guess?
Yeah, I when I was coming back from my ACL last year, I really wanted to go on loan. I thought this year was a huge year. I thought I got really lucky to go through an ACL injury last year. During COVID and when everything was kind of shut down and there wasn't a lot of internet. Obviously, there was limited international games. I don't even know if there was an international game. I don't think so. I think there was a February 1st to December, which I played in both. I just really wanted to keep going. I felt I worked so hard for 8.5-9 months of rehab that it just didn't feel right to end the year after playing one game and then just wait, because obviously we weren't quite sure when the league was going to start back up, and I just didn't want to take the chance of waiting 4 or 5 months without playing a game again, since I had missed pretty much over a year of not playing, right? So that was a huge part of it, and obviously I had expressed that to the club and the organization themselves, and they felt most comfortable with me going on loan somewhere that was controllable. That was an uncontrollable environment, to be honest with you. It was the thought of sending me somewhere where they didn't have too much control and maybe their relationship wasn't amazing. And then if I were to be overused, or if something were to happen to me, that was kind of a scary thought. And I completely respected that and I understand. So Swansea came about, and I immediately jumped on it. I was extremely excited. I wanted to go over there. I wanted to get a chance to play and see what it's like, experience life, especially in England. And at the time, Swansea was in second place. And I had spoken to Jordan in our January camp, and he had said that, he was also potentially going over there. And then when you hear that and you hear one of your really good friends, could possibly be going to the same team, I mean, at that point it's tunnel vision, right? You're excited. You start to think about what it could be and what kind of impact you guys could have and different things like that. So, not to go into too much details, but it comes along and we both end up over there. I think it was just a difficult situation for me. I come in and I think the manager, immediately kind of saw me, in a 10 position. Swansea have a player, had a player this year, Connor Roberts, who was a right wing back who played. When I had gone into the team, almost every minute of every game in that season, I think they knew that I was stronger out wide, but really throughout the year and throughout the time that I was there, it was a 5-3-2 formation, which didn't really align too well with me, whether it was as a nine or as a center midfielder, as one of those guys. So it just ended up being a interesting situation for me, right? I wasn't really, in my natural position. There wasn't really even a chance for me to be in a natural position for me. And I think that was kind of frustrating for me as well, because I went over there for an opportunity to play and to help the team win. And I think everybody had eyes on the Premier League. And as a guy going over there for the first time, right, I was in the beginning, I was excited to get over there. And then once you land and you get your feet on the ground, you want to play, you want to have an impact. And you want to showcase yourself, of course. And I just felt I really didn't get a chance at that. And that's obviously okay. And that's kind of the way it goes. And there's no one to blame for that. And then obviously I get injured a couple times in a row, and that's a difficult part to swallow as well when you're away and it's not really your team. And in the end, it just made the most sense to come back because, you know, we were looking at potentially me being there for one game at the end of the season. You know, I got hurt. I was about to come back. I got hurt again. And at that point, it was an easy decision for all parties to say, you know, why don't you rehab back in the United States and get ready for, you know, your season, your DC United season, which was just beginning. Right. And in comparison to being in Swansea, where, you know, there's a lot of things that could maybe go wrong where you're thinking, you know, I got to get back. There's only two games left. I got to get back. There's only one game left. I got to get back. I got to get back. And the mentality just in the time frames just kind of switched a little bit where I came back to DC United and it was a little more, let's take care of you. Let's make sure we get this right, because, you know, we don't want this to be a reoccurring thing and something that lingers for years and years and years. And so I completely respected that, and I was glad that decision was made because it really did change my mentality. So, you know, I was disappointed, and 100%, you know, I appreciated it, and I feel everything I could have from that experience. And I don't think that's the end of me in Europe if I want to. I think it just becomes I need to, you know, go to a team where I kind of fit in a little bit more.
The fit and the opportunity is right. The timing is right.
Absolutely. I think that's it. But I'm definitely not opposed to going back over, you know, and giving it a go again and looking for an opportunity. With that being said, you know, I'm a DC United player. So, you know, that's, you know, like I told you earlier, it's day by day. It's not, you know, I'm definitely not thinking too far ahead. I'm not thinking, you know, in 6 months, in 2 months, in a year, I'm thinking about, you know, tomorrow. You know, I'm really excited. Obviously it was a rough experience, but at the end of it, it was an experience. You know, I think I've gone through, in my life a lot worse and in my career a lot worse. Obviously I'm really thankful that it happened. And I think it just kind of a little more motivation for me to keep going and go even harder.
Appreciate the honesty, Paul. That's a journey packed into a couple months in a time which we're all facing some insane challenges to come back from the ACL and then to go through that and to be here now. We just wish you all the best, man. I could do this for another 25 minutes, but I know you don't got all the time in the world and neither do I. So I appreciate you, Paul Arriola. Good luck. We hope to see you this summer at the US. Best of, man.
I appreciate that so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff for Paul Arriola. Do you want to host, Charlie? I know you kind of try to take over. You're on Kate Abdo a little bit. You're like, oh, I know how to do this now at a higher level. Like,
no,
if you
no,
want to, I'll
no.
step back. I like playing the analyst too. It's funny.
Yeah, I was like, let me throw something at you.
Yeah,
let me throw something at you.
Weeby, you host at a January camp level. Charlie's now a Nations League finalist. So wow. It's a different world.
Wow.
Hey, you guys took it well. So that's what it's about.
Yeah, well, you know what? If this is January camp, I will see you at Shellbacks. All right. We're gonna be in Manhattan Beach. I'll be enjoying myself.
Yeah.
For US sure. Costa Rica, 4-0. It was a friendly, but it was sort of a fake World Cup qualifier, but it was more friendly certainly than US Mexico. And that was inevitable. The amount of energy expended in that match in the Nations League final, you're just never going to match that. And certainly Costa Rica had expended a lot too in two losses, but go ahead.
Can I push back a little here? Because I've seen this a lot. I think that this is what a three window World Cup qualifier will look like. And I thought that it was a bit unfair that the reaction was, oh, it wasn't the same team Costa Rica played against Mexico.
Just say his name here. His whole lead was that it was a friendly. Matt Doyle.
Oh, yeah. I didn't actually remember that that's who said it. So appreciate that. And I thought that that was a ton of the conversation coming out of it. And I think that's a bit unfair because the point is that this is what it's going to look like. And the one thought process I had in this game was I didn't think about how much depth will help the bigger teams in these, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Especially Mexico and the US. But at the same time, travel is not is against them because a lot of these teams are more domestically based. So that was the point of all of this. And for that, it was a big win for the US to show we can rotate a squad through three games, play against the CONCACAF team that's also playing at high levels, rotating a squad over those three games under a manager who got fired 10 hours later. So not exactly at their peak. and get a dominating victory. I think that was, there was still a lot that had to be done for the U.S. and it was done well.
One thing that you could add to that, though, is that we didn't have to travel. So that's sort of the wrinkle.
But we did travel.
Well, it was Dallas. It was Denver. We traveled Denver from and Europe. Salt Lake.
Yeah, but listen, with the distances you cover, a flight from Mexico City to Southern California or wherever it is you're going to play, or Texas, can be similar to what you did. And they went from Europe to altitude and back. Or I guess continued in altitude.
Yeah,
so I think it did mimic a lot of that. Yeah, it wasn't.
You didn't have the environment. You weren't quote unquote away team. Although you could.
Playing Mexico in NFL stadiums as close as you're going to get.
For sure. What did you take away from this game, Charlie? Who were the players that you keyed in on? And of course, they're the obvious performances here. You had Daryl DK. Daryl DK Hive, stand up, baby. Let's go. Mark McKenzie, by the way, with the through ball to set up Daryl's goal. Brendan Sauce Aronson out here just absolutely getting people.
Who on this show demanded that he should continue starting a week
can't
ago?
Remember. Cool, really just slipping my mind at this moment. Not sure who said that. Mm-hmm. It might have been you. I think it was you.
I would never say something like that. Yeah,
Charlie, who's your big winners from this? Who are you impressed by the most?
I'm impressed by Daryl DK. I've always been impressed by Daryl DK with his growth, with his positive attitude, not getting down, you know, having a phenomenal season in the English Championship, but not being a part of the Nations League roster, not playing, right? So to still come in, feel hungry. Timothy Weah, another player who is fresh off a Ligue 1 championship and not used probably as much as he would have liked, but still came in a final against Mexico and contributed. So I think those two players really stand out to me. And then a player like Yunus Musah, I thought, Aguchi Anyewu thought, Clint Dempsey thought, man, so talented, good in tight spaces, playing consistently in La Liga, you know, towards the end of the season, maybe not as much as he had been, but just a quality player. He decides to commit to the United States, probably, you know, I wouldn't say guaranteed, but probably led to believe that he's going to be playing for the full men's national team, which is why you would take that opportunity. Plus, you know, surrounded by a lot of the young, talented players who are playing in Europe. So the future looks bright, and not playing a minute. That was a shock. So for him to come in to this friendly, which is, you know, it's, let's be honest. You go from Nations League, you win a trophy. Now you got to play a friendly. The excitement, it's not going to be there, right? You're not going to have that same passion and energy to play in a friendly against Costa Rica, you know, a couple of days after winning a Nations League trophy against your biggest rival, right? So for the players to still get up and perform, that's impressive as a whole. You know, Tyler Adams, we all know what he brings to the game. He's, you know, you could say arguably one of the most important players for this U.S. men's national team just because of how he provides balance for Weston McKennie, how he provides balance for
just eliminate the arguably, right? Like,
right.
He is the ultimate security blanket. He's the guy where you're like, yeah, you know, if you're Timothy Weah, you're like, yeah, I'm going to run at this defense. If you're Reggie Cannon, you're like, yes, I'm going to overlap here. Yeah. Let's throw in some step overs. Let's take some chances. Cause if the ball's in a 50-50 situation going the other way, it's our ball.
Yes. And then Brendan Aronson, he's always been such a happy-go-lucky kid, and he was focused. You know, I talked to him after the final, and he said, you know I got to wait my chance, and I'm just going to keep working hard, and whenever I do get a chance to play, an opportunity to play, I'm going to make the most of it, and I'm just going to keep showing that I deserve more minutes. And here he goes, and he shows it. Reggie Cannon, I thought he was fantastic.
Reggie.
Another player who continues to grow, and that finish, his anticipation, cutting off passes, and very intelligent player. And then that's my last point.
I felt
like I go through the whole team, but Mark McKenzie.
When Weavy asked you the question, I was like, here comes the 11 from Charlie.
Yeah.
It was. And the point on Mark that you said about him picking himself up in the Mexico game, this was a better performance from him.
Yes.
So he bounced back from that experience and a lot of the crap he's had to go through since then, which is completely unacceptable and disgusting, and stepped up with a better performance in this game to show that's why he's in this group. That's why he got the move to Europe. And that's why Greg trusts him. and wants him to be a part of this. And he is one of the three or four best center backs in the U.S. pool and will continue to get better. So he was great in this game. I would just say on the Reggie goal, it's Tyler that closes on the counter press that Reggie reads and then picks up the second ball. That didn't exist without him on the field. It doesn't exist in our player pool without him. It is, I think, one of the players in our pool's attributes that is world class. And I don't know that you can say that about everyone. We have great players, but he might be top 5 or 10 in the world at that thing that he does at a high level. And he showed it there in that moment. And Reggie handles it perfectly well. And I thought Taylor did a good job on the broadcast there about talking about, first he gave the option for Musa like 10 seconds before that allows Musa space to cut inside and shoot. And then on this one, he comes inside, defends, gets it, and is able to finish it himself.
Let's talk about the finish, though.
Yeah.
The right to
which
left.
Which we saw for footed. Dallas
didn't,
a little bit.
I was going to say, didn't he score some lefties for Dallas? Yeah. Like cutting in with that left foot. So I like at the same time, I was like, ooh, you're right back to score to this left. But I was like, oh, I'm not actually that surprised. I will say, Charlie, that one job that I'm assigning to you, and I don't have any wherewithal to do so, is that you need to, speaking of January camps, take these guys under your wing a little bit, especially the defenders. Help them with that moment after they score a goal to understand what it is they might want to do and how they might want to execute in that moment. Because while the execution on the field, while play was live, was really good, execution from Reggie on the celebration, I want more from him. I know he's got more.
I actually liked it.
I didn't even see it. They cut from it. I don't even. What did he do?
Oh, he did calm down. He pretended he wasn't.
I saw that. Yeah, but then I thought something celebrated. Something was coming. Then they cut it to the crowd, and I'm like, "There's a baby."
Yeah, they showed it later.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
I think that's class. It's the opposite of the baseball thing where you hit your first home run and everyone pretends they don't notice you. He did the opposite. Where he was like, dude, don't make a big deal about it.
I must have missed that. I was just still being angry about the fact that ESPN cut off that moment. Yeah, I need Reggie. That's Reggie's moment, man.
It was a poor cut. I appreciate the amount of time we did see Weston McKennie just chewing seeds on the sideline, puffed with seeds, just knew he wasn't going to play. Knew he was a Nations League finals champion.
Is he a plain seed guy, you think? Is he a ranch seed guy?
Don't do this to me, Weaver.
Well, I'm just saying, this is important. This is important information. This tells me something. As a former baseball player, it's very important what flavor seeds he's
playing. And I will add this. There was one moment where they shot over after Tyler got subbed out, and he's sitting with Christian and Weston. I think they were making fun of Christian's haircut.
Yeah, they were talking about his fade.
Yeah, sure. And I was like, Weeby's going to have that image, black and white picture on his wall within the next 6 years.
I got a free space right above my right shoulder. Could go there, man. I got some options. We'll see. It was a great game. It's nice to go into a game where you see rotation. And I thought this is what the entire point was for Greg Berhalter over the last couple of years, was to build a squad that can be rotated and still be not just competitive, but at times in the region dominant. And that's what they were in this game. Pulisic and Reyna, wow, that's awesome against Mexico. Weah and Aronson, I think we would, like 2 or 3 years ago, we might have been happy with that as our number one. Sure. And now you have both of those and you can rotate them in. They all have different strengths and abilities and like areas of the field that they want to be in and thrive in. It was awesome.
I think they're the two players that had the best week and a half of making their case that they deserve to be in the conversation. It's not going to be easy. Right. Reyna and Pulisic are superstars. They're playing for huge clubs. And I think I talked about this on the show. Greg Berhalter has discussed a lot about what Weah did for Lille and how he's added that to his game on top of what he does well. And he's so clean and decisive right now. It's not a lot of let me pick the ball up. Let me look at my guy, size him up and go 1v1. He knows what he wants to do before. And then Aronson coming in off that wing allowed Anthony Robinson space that created the first goal. That Aronson then still follows up on. Weah did that as well, creating space and coming inside. It was awesome. But I just want to throw out, because Charlie mentioned that high and then coming down. Both of the U.S.-Mexico games are middle of their cycles when we do play them. One is the first in March next year when it'll be two games, and the other one's the middle. So, you know, the U.S. will literally have to go from playing Mexico to playing Jamaica in two games that matter the same in terms of World Cup qualifying. And so it's good to see them simulate that.
We have the five that are going to go into the third round. The three are still to come, but we have the matchups there. Canada did get through. They're going to take on Haiti. So that's a rematch of that crazy Gold Cup loss that they had. We'll have some more coverage on that as well, but that's
shout out Tajon Buchanan.
Tajon getting there's a lot of talk about Tajon right now, Charlie. We'll have to save that for a different show. I want to, before we finish this and get to your Gold Cup roster real quick, We didn't address, I think, the Mark McKenzie situation with sort of the focus that we need to. And so let's do that. Mark McKenzie, props to him for coming back against Mexico for that the error that he made early on, but also props to him for even being able to play that game with a clear mind and ability to focus after he and his family are being racially abused online. And this is a story, one of the many stories of our time. But the access that people have to other people and the things that they say and do, and just the fact that it's completely not just unacceptable, but as you said, Dave, disgusting. Charlie, I would love to get your thoughts on what Mark went through and how he's responded to it, because you saw him share on Instagram. I did some examples of this. And then come out and make a statement, and U.S. Soccer has made a statement condemning everything and condemning fans, because it's not just, you know, those of you out there that are like, oh, well, this is XYZ in the stadium. Those are not our fans. Well, it's our fans, too. It's U.S. supporters, too. It's not just whoever else it might be from anonymous account from outside the world. It's coming from inside our own house. So before we start pointing fingers, we got to think about ourselves and address that. What'd you think about what Mark said, how he handled it, and what the last week or so has been like for him, and not just him, a lot of people?
I can't tell you how proud I am of Mark McKenzie. You know, this is a player that came up right, you know, towards the end of my career with the Philadelphia Union. I got a chance to see just what a great kid he is, right? And I think his maturity, his knowledge, he came at it from a very educated, you know, point of view, as he's going to rise above it. You know, he's not going to let it deter him. He's going to allow people to see the hate that comes his way. And I think he's done everything in his power to make it known that this is what some of the black players have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, on a game-to-game basis. And it's really not on him to do anything more. It's on the supporters. It's on CONCACAF. It's on U.S. soccer as a whole, to say that they don't tolerate that this will never be tolerated. And these are the repercussions of people who throw hatred or think that they can get away with something like this. So I think from that standpoint, he's putting it on U.S. soccer, putting it on CONCACAF, putting it on Major League Soccer, and putting it on the fans to say, you know what? I got your back. I'm going to support this. This isn't a political issue. This is a humanity issue. This is a racism issue. We need to stop racism. And the only way we can do that is by coming together and putting a real stark punishment to anything that is, you know, resemblant of racism. So, you know, I can't say enough great things about Mark McKenzie. He's just a stand-up guy. He's, you know, someone that you want to fight for. He's someone you want to stand next to and play with. He embodies everything that you want out of a son, out of a teammate, out of a brother. He's just an incredible individual.
I think it's pretty clear. Anybody who's listened to this show for any amount of time, and certainly has listened to, you know, what he does with Slice of Soccer and the interview that we had with him, what was it, like 6-8 months ago, something like that? You can't help but be struck and impressed by Mark McKenzie, the person. And what I was struck by is the level of strength and bravery that he displayed. Strength in the sense that he's able to go out and do what he did and perform in the way he did and recover the way he did facing these things. I mean, just to face it once would feel soul crushing. This is his reality. This is his family's reality. This is the black players on this team across the world, just black people's reality. And to even be able to live and go on and succeed in that takes immense strength. And then bravery to me, because he is not established in this team yet. It might have been easier for him in the position that he has as a young guy, as a guy who's trying to find his way into the team, who, you know, you always hear, like, don't make distractions, to sort of deal with it personally instead of doing what he did, which is saying, you know what? I'm strong enough. I'm brave enough to put this in the public sphere, force action to be taken, force attention to be paid to it, and then continue to go along on my path. This is a guy who, he's living his dream, man. He worked his ass off to be in this position, and this is what he gets? It's completely, again, to go back to what you said, Dave, I think disgusting is the right word for it, unacceptable. And it's on all of us to do something about it. And it's not just making it public. You know, I struggle a lot with, like, what can I do? And I think I've come down on the side of it's about talking to people around you. It's about making sure people understand that it's happening, about making sure that not just you, but society is saying no. And then if they're not on that side, calling them out and making it clear and helping them understand and get in tune with, as you said, Charlie, humanity, and what is right, what is ethical, what is moral, and what is just common sense, man. Treat other people with respect and dignity, period. That's it. So props to Mark McKenzie. That is a low note, I think, for U.S. soccer in a week of many highs. But I think it's one that I'm glad is out there that we can start to address. Let's look ahead to the Gold Cup, Dave. And I'm going to let you just run with this, man, because you have a complete roster here. Ryan
Should Fumares. We save this for another week since we're pushing times or no?
Should we?
I don't know. It's up to you guys. You tell me. How do you feel?
I'm always down for some.
Charlie's gonna rip all my names.
We're gonna push the other stuff. All right, Ryan.
I'm not gonna give you a reply or response. We're gonna leave it at that.
I can't promise that. Ryan from Juarez hit us up. He said, "Give us your best guess at a Gold Cup roster."
So, all right, here's my starting 11 right off the bat: Matt Turner, Aaron Herrera, Walker Zimmerman, Miles Robinson, Sam Vines, Leon Flock at the six.
Flock,
unless Jackson Yule's coming, I understand giving him a chance. My two eights are Eric Williamson and Christian Roldan. They both deserve it. They both earned it. I think Paul Arriola, if he's healthy, he gets the opportunity to start because Greg trusts him, because he's still working his way back. You know he can be effective.
And you're saying right wing with Paul.
Yep. Okay. And then Daryl Dike at center forward if available.
Do we think he's going to be available? I know Charlie made a promise that I didn't make. I wonder if
he will be available. What was Charlie's promise?
That he wasn't going to respond. Yeah.
See, oh, got it.
He's lips sealed. I thought right he now. Do we think I've been thinking about this? Do we think Daryl Dike is actually going to be in this team? Because he's got a lot on the line here. He scored the goal. He has a nice highlight. Now they got to figure out his future.
I think if he's not, it depends on how the transfer goes. If the transfer gets done, I don't think he comes because you send him to preseason. If there's a question of what the transfer is and what's going on, and it's not something where he needs to be somewhere to deal with, I think he'll be in the roster. Whether or not he comes for the whole tournament, because remember, you can swap guys in and out now. You have extended teams. It feels safe to say Giassi Zardes will be here and can carry a bulk of those minutes. So I think you have flexibility with a guy like Daryl Dike. Charlie's about to jump through the screen. He's so anxious and ready.
That's why you don't make promises you can't keep, Chuck.
And then on the last winger, I'm not really sure about that spot yet. So I think a few of these pieces could move around. And I have like 18 central midfielders from MLS that I want to see. So right now, I think Chris Mueller still has a shot, even though he's played poorly for Orlando to start the year. Charlie's so upset about this one. And then, or maybe Georgie.
Yeah, Georgie plays really well. That's a guy that you can see on a wing coming in.
Which makes sense playing him as one of these eights, but then you can always slide Christian out wide.
I think he'll be in the team.
Sort of done. I think they'll definitely be in the team. Some other names, let's rattle off real quick. Sean John deserves to be in here. I think Justin Glad will get in. George Bello. I think DeJuan Jones deserves a shot at a level like this, especially with his flexibility. Araujo, Cole Bassett, I'd love to see get some minutes.
I'd like to see in those eights. I think that could be really interesting.
I think Busio's one as well with his flexibility and the way Frankie Amaya has started with Red Bulls as well. Super interesting because he plays an eight spot like
Julian Araujo.
Yeah, I had him already.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't hear it. Sorry. My bad about that.
No, you're good.
Charlie's
really so upset right now.
Give us a thought, Charlie.
Charlie wants us to put Tejan in.
Yeah.
He wants us to put Carlos Heel in.
Yeah.
He wants us your to gag put order, Michael Essien in.
I'm lifting the gag order. No, I lifted it.
No, I'm not talking on anything, but I'm just going to say interesting picks.
Who are you most upset that I left out or put in?
No comment.
Oh, my God. Look, I think we're running up on time here. Anders is going to get mad at me. There's an ESPN Plus game of the week this week. It is the only game. It is Sporting Kansas City and Austin. You can check that one out this weekend on MLS Live on ESPN Plus. Coverage at MLSsoccer.com, of course. And we'll spend another week, and then we'll be back in the grind for that side of things.
I think this is the last game before Q2, right?
Yeah. Q2.
June 20th.
I thought you were. I thought I was like, are you like financial terming me here? Quarter two. I'm like Q2. What do you? Yeah, Q2. Yeah, it is their last game, I believe, and then it's San Jose for them. I think next
Saturday,
weekend.
June 19th.
Yeah, next weekend it's San Jose for Austin.
So for Austin, that leaves them at. We probably should have done this before, but they wanted 1 point per game on the road. And I think right now they're a little bit less. And if they were to get a tie, it would probably put them really close.
Loading, loading, loading. They're 1 point per game exactly right now. So if they win this game, they're in a great position.
If they get a tie, they're feeling it.
Yep, they're feeling it. All right. Last thing before we get out of here, I just want to say a big congratulations. I'm a National Soccer Hall of Fame committee member and voter. I take it seriously. I think it's really important that we celebrate our history in this country, and I think we'll do it in a better way on the next show. We ran out of time here. But big congratulations in the player ballot to Christy Pierce-Rampone, who was the number one vote getter, was on almost 94% of ballots, and Steve Cherundolo, who was number two with almost 90% of ballots. Both of those players, those legends, are into the National Soccer Hall of Fame.
Congrats.
As players. Congrats. They both absolutely deserved it. I'm happy to see multiple get in. That's been my beef in the past. One, we don't honor enough of the different constituencies, certainly U.S. women, and I think MLS legends being sort of primary among them. But the numbers just haven't been big enough. And then on the veteran ballot, this is a big one to go to that MLS legend side. Jaime Moreno in with 95.8% of the vote. Right behind him, and just one gets in. So right behind him was Marco Echeverri. They had the same amount of ballots, but Jaime won in a tiebreaker. So Marco's right behind him, maybe going to get in. I think Kate Markgraf should also be in. She was third. We'll see what happens in the future with her as well. So congratulations to Jaime Moreno, and then congratulations to Kevin Payne, who is in KP on the builder ballot as well. So KP is in. That is certainly deserved. I would throw out that there are a couple guys behind him that absolutely deserved to be in that almost got in. Another tiebreaker, Clive Charles did not get in because of tiebreaker. Clive Charles should be in the National Soccer Hall of Fame, period. End of story. So I hope we see that in the future. And Essie Bahamas is right back behind them too, just one vote back on the ballots. And I think Essie probably deserves it too for everything he did for refereeing in this country. So congratulations to them. Big thank you to you out there for listening to this show and rocking with us as we've gone through all these live shows on Twitter Spaces. We've been all over the place.
Do we not get one mailbag in?
Sure, let's go.
Nice.
Sorry, Anders.
Oh, is this the one that's supposed to make me mad?
Yeah, I think it will make you mad, Charlie.
All right, let's go.
So first of all, shout out to Ryan from Juarez. It was his Gold Cup question that got us that roster. This is Wes from Seattle. He said it was mentioned a few times on Monday's ETR that none of the American players on the field against Mexico are on club teams where they're relied on to be the guy.
There's quotes on the guy.
Who of those players do you think is most likely to grow into a central figure on a club team? Or do you see any rising USMNT players that are currently, quote, the guy for their club and could soon break into the national team?
This was going to make Charlie mad?
I thought Charlie would be upset that we said that about it, all these players, that they weren't the guy on their team.
Why would I get upset?
I don't know, because I think you'd think we weren't right. I think you'd look at Pulisic or look at Tyler and say that they are.
No, they're clearly not. I mean, you look at Weston's situation, like he's a phenomenal player, but he's not to be the guy at Juve. I mean, to be the guy at Chelsea. Christian, I think,
about Weston. He was at Schalke. They were just bad, and he was young, and now he left. But continue.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like Sergiño Dest is never going to be the guy at Barca, right? You have to look at some of the positions. To be the guy at the club, you're either a striker or like a phenomenal attacking winger or like the heart of the team in the midfield. For Christian Pulisic and his skill set, he has what it takes to be the guy. But at Chelsea, I don't feel like he's going to be the guy at Chelsea, even though, you know, there are times early on with Frank Lampard or later on towards Frank Lampard's, coaching career at Chelsea, I thought he was the guy.
There were moments where his performance was saying, yes, in this particular time, I am the guy right now. But as far as universality of being quote unquote the guy.
Yeah.
But isn't that the challenge, right?
Now with N'Golo Kante on that team. Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to
switch on when you get to a position where you are the guy. Cause that is what they are for the US.
Well, that's the whole point, right? For any U.S. men's national team player, if you go to MLS, guess what? You're the guy. You're the guy. It's that simple. You will always be the guy. You go to Europe, most likely you're never going to be the guy. And that's just the chip on your shoulder that you always have when you're in Europe, because they're always looking to bring in that Brazilian star or that Argentine star or that French, Spanish, Italian star. And you are always the American at the end of the day.
and you always have to earn your starting spot every single week. In MLS, in a lot of cases, 99%, you don't have to earn your starting spot every week if you're that big DP, if you're that national team player. That's realistic. That's just real. When you go to Europe, no matter who you are, Christian Pulisic is the perfect example. You have to prove yourself every single day of training, not only on the matches, because midweek, Thomas Tuchel can say, nah, you didn't train that well, you're on the bench.
Or he might say, you trained really well, you're on the bench.
Right. Like that. That's just what it is.
Which is literally what he was saying.
Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, they can be phenomenal, but then you're on the bench, right? You're not going to get that when you're playing at home. So that's why we all want them to be in Europe, because you have to be pushed at all times, and you can never settle, because once you do, you're out of the team. That young player who's coming up, who's come from the academy, mind you, they go, oh, he's developing. Oh, we can sell him for much more. He's that much more valuable. We're going to play him over you. So you can never, you have to value every time you get on the field, because as soon as you don't, and if you don't take care of yourself and you get injured, that's another opportunity for someone to take your spot. So that's why Europe is where we want all our players, because the level is super high, but it's more important that you are focused every single day in training, that it really comes down to recovery and your training habits, and then your performance from week to week, game to game. And you're not going to get that anywhere else. So that's why.
I'm going to throw this out there. And it's just I just want to say
real quick, that was a phenomenal answer. We also would have accepted Tyler Adams as a correct answer.
Yeah.
Continue, Weeby.
I was just going to say that I think that there is a difference in Major League Soccer. And look, you're right about like a Clint Dempsey coming back. He's going to play, period. That's the deal. He's Clint Dempsey. He is the face of your team. He's the best player on your team. But I don't personally think any more in particular, with the way that MLS rosters are being constructed, with the way that investment is going, that isn't the case for, let's say, a guy like Julian Araujo or Cole Bassett or whatever
it might
be.
Ricardo Pepi.
Yeah, these guys trying to push their way into this team, trying to earn that status within their club teams. And that is a process that is extremely important for them to go through in Major League Soccer, to be like, you want to get on the field? Yeah, we like our academy kids. We want to be there. But yeah, I got to win. I'm a head coach. I'm going to lose my job if I don't win. Mm-hmm. I got to win. You got to help me win. If you don't help me win, I'm going to have to change it. And that's where I think MLS is starting to take big strides in preparing guys for whether it be that next level or whether they're sticking around Major League Soccer to have that edge and that competitiveness. Is it the same as Chelsea? Is it the same as Barca or Juve? You're right. Let's be real. We know it's not. That's okay. But we know that MLS has a role to play in this as well. And we saw in these games a ton of guys that did exactly that in MLS, that broke in, that proved themselves, and whether they moved to Europe or not, perform in those big moments. I mean, it's up and down. It's from Tim Ream. Like, you might not remember him with the Red Bulls, but he had to do that there. And then look what he's done and had to hold on to a spot in Europe for a lot of years. That was his training ground. That is the sort of duality of this that I think is driving us to the top. It's Tyler Adams. It is Brendan Aaronson. It's Mark McKenzie. It's so many of these guys.
I agree everything you're saying. I think we do gloss over the fact that Tyler was a top three player on a Supporter Shield winning team.
I'm not
borderline.
That's him earning it, right?
No. But he was the guy.
Yeah.
Brad was, but he also was. So he has tried. He has done that, I actually think. And he's not the guy at Leipzig, but he was inserted to play against Munich in a versus Bayern in a 1-2 game by one of the best managers in the world. So I think he's the one that's closest to me. And to Charlie's point, position wise as well. Yeah, he's not going to be the star of a team, but he could be the best player on a team or one of the most important players on a big team in Europe in a way that I think other guys wouldn't. And he has, to an extent, in MLS at a level that a lot of these other guys haven't.
So, for instance, Walker Zimmerman is the guy for Nashville. Their ability to perform and get results falls on him. And what a beautiful thing it is to be able to bring him in and have him compete now for that national team job where he is not the guy, but he has the experience having that responsibility. Either way, the message is the national team's rising, man. It's rising. It's a beautiful thing. You can't help but be excited about it. Canada fans, I know you're jacked up too, because Alphonso Davies went out there and had a field day, and so did Jonathan David. Your future is extremely bright, and you got two big games against Haiti. I'm trying to manifest.
You can't stop the rise from the U.S.
I know. I'm trying to manifest the world I want to live in. That's U.S. where Canada's Canada sick
Gold
too.
Cup matchup coming up. Group stage. Same
Where's
group.
That played? Kansas City, baby. Bring Josie we'll to Gold
on,
Cup.
We'll see you on pre and post game, Weeby.
Yeah,
right?
Unfortunately, from your that's what they keep saying. I might try to dip out from that Canada one and be like, oh, I think I'll be off that day. I got to go to the stadium. Got to see this game in person. Anyway, we went long. Anders is probably tearing his hair out. That's okay. This has been a fun one. Appreciate awesome. Paul Ariel for joining us. Appreciate you, Charlie, for big timing us and, you know, still coming back. Didn't know if you were going to pop up, be an empty office or anything like that. And, of course, Dave. It's been, what, damn near a decade now? Always a great time to spend with you talking soccer. That's it for us. We will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.